The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Lobontoni. A microscopic animal buried in the permafrost has been brought back to life after 24,000 years.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and its first words were, have the Cubs won a World Series yet?
Only one.
Yeah.
It might take another 108. I mean, you know. They haven't hit since 2016. They haven't hit since then.
Wait a second. Haven't they won a bunch of games lately?
They lost three out of four to San Francisco, but we're like right there hanging around with the Brewers and Cardinals for first place in the Central. We're all right.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, James Harden is out, Joel Embiid looks healthy, and Julio Jones is a Titan. But we begin today with the Los Angeles Clippers finally winning a home game and eliminating the pesky Dallas Mavericks from the playoffs. The Clippers won despite 46 points from Luka Doncic, who averaged 36 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds in this series. Wilbon, how surprised are you by the result of the series?
Not at all. I was surprised by the way it was achieved. I didn't see the home team losing 6 out of 7 games in the series. Never saw that coming. And Tony, you mentioned Doncic. Doncic is great, period. If I was going to start a team, he put one of the 3 players in the league, maybe one, that I'd start a team, my team with. But Tony, he's 22 and he's got some immaturity. You know, the play goes to the other end. He's still barking at a referee. He's 22. That's what 22-year-olds do, even in that league, in any league. And so Doncic has some growth. He really does. And he's going to achieve that and he's going to be great. But right now, it's still Kawhi Leonard among those chess pieces. He was the best two-way player in that series. Doncic also. Defense, not interested. So Kawhi Leonard can be interested. The one game that they sort of held Doncic a little bit, the Clippers won that game and it became instrumental. But Tone, I don't know that the Clippers are any better than last year when they lost in the second round, but they are a worthy team to move forward. And Kawhi Leonard is the guy who moves them there.
Yeah. So I thought, that the better team won.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Doncic is a great player and a great star already, but he is surrounded by just a bunch of guys who stand near him. They're not nearly as good as he is. The Clippers had won, let me get the numbers right, 47 games. The Mavericks had won 42. The Clippers deliberately tanked in order to get to the Mavericks. I'm satisfied that the best team won.
Yeah.
I agree with you that Kawhi Leonard is a great, great player. That the thing that surprised me, I guess, was the Mavericks choking in game 6 after the Clippers had choked in game 5. But, Kawhi is a great, great player, but I don't know that he's a star. I don't know that people tune in to watch him in the way that they do and will tune in to watch Doncic. But what he did in game 6 on the road, he had 45 points. I mean, that's spectacular. He shot 60% from the series. He's not a center. He's taking real shots and shooting that. So I'm okay with the Clippers moving on. Dallas, they're Porzingis and Hardaway Jr. in the last game, Mike, 1 of 14 from 3. That stinks. You can't win
it
that.
It does. I want Hardaway Jr., and I have a bias toward him because of his dad largely. But I don't want Porzingis anymore. Seriously? I mean, first of all, he's only out there for, it seems like, a third of the games. And when he's out there, I'm not sure what he's doing. So they got to get some more players. And they will be able, you know that Mark Cuban is not going to sit around with players out there. There are a few attractive free agents. There are trades to be made. He's going to have to get this right early in the Doncic window. And I trust Mark Cuban will do that. But, yeah, the Clippers move on. And now they got a good series with Utah. I think you and I are both saying we think Utah's going to win that series. We got lots of time to discuss that. We are less than 2 hours away from the Bucks and Nets taking the court in game 2 in Brooklyn. The Nets won Saturday's game 1 despite James Harden leaving after 43 seconds re-injuring that right hammy. Harden is out tonight, Tony, already been declared, and his availability for the series, of course, is in question. So, does Harden's injury make the Bucks the favorite in this series in your mind?
No, not to me. Let's review what happened in game 1. The Bucks were terrible in terms of shooting. They shot 6 of 30 from 3. Their second and third best players, Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, together shot 13 for 42 and 2 of 12 from 3. That stinks, but that's not why I don't make them the favorite. I don't make them the favorites because the two remaining great players on the Nets, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, have won championships. They understand the difference between the regular season and what you have to do in the playoffs. The change in gear, the change in mood. It's an entirely different deal. Nobody on Milwaukee understands this. They do. So I would tell you that the Nets, even without – I love Harden. I think he's the most valuable player on that team and in the league. But even without him, I'll still take the Nets.
Tony, I get that. I'm not going to scream at anything you just said. It's a logical play you took just then. I picked Milwaukee before the series started, before Harden went out. So even with Harden, I thought Milwaukee, on the strength of their defense and having an offense nearly statistically just as good as Brooklyn's, could win the series and the heartache they've suffered over the last 2 years. So that was my equation. And then the Milwaukee Bucks went out and they majored in stupid. They played the dumbest game of the weekend. They went out while being bigger, stronger, taller, with better inside game than Brooklyn, and just shot threes. Like the night when Houston went 0 for 29 and kept shooting threes. Where's your plan B, Coach Bud? I don't want to hear, this is the way the game is played these days. No. First of all, they scored 70-some points in the paint. They dominated them in that statistic. Then do it some more. When you get to the point where you are, 4 for 22, stop taking threes. This is so dumb. If the Milwaukee Bucks are going to major in stupid night after night and not play to their advantage if the threes aren't falling, Brooklyn will wipe the floor with them. I trust that Milwaukee will have more common sense tonight in going about its duty and probably hit some threes as well. So I'm keeping the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'll just say this, that I don't want to talk to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
I think they're
pretty negative people, but I love watching them play basketball. Julio Jones is now on the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee only had to give up second and fourth round draft picks for Jones, who's the all-time leading Falcons receiver and a 7-time Pro Bowler. Will Bond, what does this do for the Titans?
Tony, it means that every defensive coordinator who walks into the office on the previous Sunday night or Monday morning is going to need Pepto-Bismol. I mean, because he's going to look at the people. He's going to look at Brown, and he's going to look at a 2,000-yard rusher and then adding Julio Jones to that and say, my God, what do we do here? And by the way, that old 8 and 9 in the box to defend this 2,000-yard runner, that's going to be largely over. Not entirely, I'm sure. But, Tony, it's too many weapons offensively if they're healthy and if Julio Jones is at the form, can get back to the form we saw him play for like his second through ninth years in the league where he could just kill you. Is he going to be that guy or is he going to be the guy who only played 9 games last year? So there's a lot on paper that we don't know yet, but man, I wouldn't want to have to defend that.
So let's get to that. Julio Jones is 32 years old, and you add that in combination with the fact that last year was his least productive year, and I can understand how a person would think he's on the downslope of his career. Me, personally, I think he's going to have 1 or 2 great years. I would tell you that your favorite receiver in the world, Larry Fitzgerald, was great receiver well into his 30s.
Yeah.
I would tell you that Randy Moss was a great receiver into his 30s. And to your point about what Tennessee has, they are now a team that can beat you short and beat you long. And you can't double Julio Jones. The more you double Julio Jones or A.J. Brown, the more Derrick Henry gets the ball and only has to get through one line. You know,
right.
I mean, they're not a good defensive team. But Ryan Tannehill has proven there that he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Are they a Super Bowl team?
Maybe.
Not if Kansas City's still in the AFC.
Well,
but they're now, you look at Baltimore, you look at Buffalo, you look at Cleveland, Tennessee is every bit
right
the team that they are right now.
Absolutely.
Right now.
I agree, Tony.
Yeah. So, and Julio Jones, if he's got a couple of years left, he was a stud in Atlanta. Let's take a break. But coming up, should the Sixers be upset that they dropped game one or thrilled that Joel Embiid played as well as he did?
Maybe both. And will baseball's crackdown on pitchers who allegedly use substances change the game for the better? No!
You can't automatically look at a person's age If we learned anything from Brady, it's that age is not a determinant 100% of the time. Not 100%.
No, but like 98%.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time. When you subject us to your issues, I will get the first one.
Mail time!
Out of the mailbox.
Like, you're having some issues.
Should the Sixers be discouraged by their Game 1 loss to the Hawks or be encouraged by Joel Embiid playing and scoring 39?
You know, one of my favorite phrases is more than one thing can be true, and it is in this case. So not just 39, but 39, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 12 of 21 from the floor, 14 of 15 from the line. You got to be encouraged about that. But you gave up 35 and 10 to Trae Young early. Collins had 21. Bogdanovich, 21. Herter, 15. Capella had a double-double. Atlanta has too much firepower, Tony. Now, Philadelphia is now in a must-win situation. But the Atlanta Hawks, with Trae Young leading the way, because we only had like 10 and 3 in the second half, he spread it around. They are learning. I mean, their learning curve is so great on how to play in the playoffs for a bunch of neophytes who shouldn't really know what they're doing. I mean, Philadelphia's got to be happy with their stud, their star, but discouraged about the way Atlanta took it to them for most of the game.
Okay, so Atlanta may not win another game. The Game 1 loss is the easiest one to overcome. Now, I'm not saying they won't.
Okay.
I'm saying they may not. But what I'm saying right here is Coach of the Year is Nate McMillan.
I know you've always believed
that.
There's
no other choice. Nate McMillan is the Coach of the Year. Now, to address this particular issue, Joel Embiid still has a torn meniscus, right? That didn't go away. It's still a torn meniscus. He went out there. He had an MVP game, right? Right?
Yes.
And they lost at home.
Yeah. Oh,
so, I mean, I don't know how you can be encouraged on any level, because it would not surprise you and it would not surprise me if Embiid missed game two or missed game three and the meniscus flared up. So when you waste a 39-point game from a guy you're worried about and you lose, I'm sorry, I don't think you can be encouraged. I don't.
But considering the way he played at home, doesn't Atlanta's postseason success continue to make you go, whoa, we weren't expecting this?
Again, Nate McMillan, Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Does it sound like baseball has a good plan to curtail the use of foreign substances by pitchers?
Well, Tony, you know about this baseball memo. Reports say that umpires are going to be able to walk out to the mound 8 to 10 random 12 checks per game. Usually this would happen after a pitcher leaves the game and they can go and see something, or who knows what they can do. And there could be a result of perhaps 10-day suspensions. And Tony, this to me is about the most overhyped, lazy piece of you know what I could possibly hear. Because you and I lived, followed baseball as fans, and even covered baseballs for newspapers when people could check anything they wanted to do. And there were spitters being thrown and nail files being used. We had pitchers who would tell us after game, let me show you what I got this done with. And baseball did jack. And now, because batting averages are lower than they were since the dead ball era, they want to make you believe, oh, we're going to clean it up now. I don't believe anything baseball says on this topic. In this context, nothing.
So what I want to see is when they have the 8 to 10 random searches, is it just going to be Trevor Bauer, or is it going to be other people? Or are they going to strip search people in the dugout? Because I would find that very interesting. The plan means nothing. The only thing that is meaningful is the punishment. That's all that's meaningful. Are you going to throw the pitcher out of the game right then and there? On a second offense, are you going to throw the pitching coach out of the game? Are you going to throw the manager out of the game on a second offense? Because, Mike, what we learned from Bob Baffert is it doesn't really matter if the veterinarian uses the drug.
That's right.
The trainer is responsible.
Yes.
So the manager, it seems to me, is responsible. And something else, Mike, 10 games. No. You want to stop this? 30 games minimum. First
like
offense.
Like steroids.
Then 60.
Quickly, Tony. On a 1 to 10 scale.
Last one.
On a 1 to 10 scale. Here's how effective I think this new plan will be. A 1. I don't think baseball has the guts. The cheating's been going on for 140 years, and now they're going to get tough. Do you think this is going to work, and to what degree?
Again, if the punishment is stern, it will work 100%. Should Patrick Cantlay feel like a worthy winner of the Memorial?
Yes. And I know what we're talking about here, Tony. I mean, John Rahm, on Saturday, was tossed with a 6-shot lead. And John Rahm is not some dude who's unaccustomed to being on the leaderboard. John Rahm not likely to fold up, as we used to say. And so I get the question. Rahm just distraught there because he looks like he's going to win that tournament. But Tony, I don't know. If I'd won that tournament, things happen. I mean, we see leads go away with veteran players and champions in this sport and others. So if you win it and you stay out there, especially golf, for God's sake, where people give stuff back on the second day with 9 holes left, yes, Cantlay should feel good about his win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's worthy. He beat everybody that they allowed out there to play against him. So I think he's worthy. So let's talk about John Rahm, who had a COVID positive test. And I'll give you my son's idea. And as you know, he's a pretty good player. He's better than you and I are. He said Rahm should have been able to go out alone first thing in the morning or last thing at night and post a score. And he said if you want somebody with him, it's Jack Nicklaus's tournament. Let him sit in a cart and pull the pin for Rahm. And keep things safe because it's outdoors, because Rahm played 3 days with this thing growing in his system and had a 6-shot lead. So I sort of feel villainizing Rahm was a bad idea.
Yeah, I like that suggestion. I do.
Oh, you
do? Michael, I like that suggestion. That's a great suggestion that the son, not the father, came up with. Very glad to hear that from Michael.
That's exactly right.
It's good, Tony, but things do happen. And we're going to get to it a little bit later in this show. But in the Women's U.S. Open, somebody that you think is going to hold a 5-shot lead couldn't hold a 5-shot lead. So that's why you can't just say, no, this guy should, like, give it back. No.
Enough of your issues. Let's take one last break, but still to come, were the Blazers right to say see it, Terry Stotts, who watches PTI and whom we like.
We don't like this decision in Portland. The U.S. men came away with a big win over Mexico that featured criminal fan behavior. Criminal behavior.
Rahm could have gone out alone. He could have posted a number.
He could have.
It would have been safe outdoors, alone. You know, somebody else pulls the pin.
Hadn't thought of that. Good idea.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 25th birthday, Christian McCaffrey. The Carolina Panthers all-purpose running back signed a 4-year, $64 million extension before the beginning of last season, and then spent most of it unable to play because of a high ankle sprain and a shoulder sprain. McCaffrey played in only 3 games, but he had 59 rushes for 225 yards and 17 catches for 149 yards and scored a total of 5 touchdowns. McCaffrey's healthy now, and we will see what he can do beside new Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold, acquired from the Jets. Darnold's 24th birthday, coincidentally, was this past Saturday.
McCaffrey's healthy now. Anybody hitting him now? I mean, those numbers suggest overuse. People get crazy because they're paying somebody a lot of money. He's not Derrick Henry size. That's not his skill set either. So I don't understand this. This is why you can't count Julio Jones and Tennessee as Super Bowl faves. People get hurt. People underperform. It's football, people. Injuries matter.
Happy anniversary, Washington, D.C., where I'm sitting right now. On this day 43 years ago, the Bullets, led by Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes, won their only NBA championship, beating Seattle in Game 7. And on this day 3 years ago, the Capitals, led by Alex Ovechkin, defeated the Vegas Golden Knights to win their only Stanley Cup championship. And on this day 11 years ago, the Nationals selected Bryce Harper with the number one pick of the baseball draft. The Nats also won a championship the year Harper left for the Phillies.
You had to get that shot in there. Bryce Harper, not even recognizable now compared to that day he was drafted, Tony. Not a lot of championships, but an increase in championships won in D.C., right? So that's
yes.
That's been great to live here and see. It used to just be the Washington football team. Now they're bringing up the rear. And by the way, Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes. I mean, it's so great to watch any clip of them playing basketball.
Happy trails to NB Park's sole record as youngest player ever to win the U.S. Women's Open. Yesterday, in an amazing coincidence, Yuka Saso tied Park as the youngest Open champion. Both were 19 years, 11 months, and 17 days old when they won. Saso won at Olympic Club by birdieing the third playoff hole to beat Nasa Hataoka after both women finished the 72 holes at 4 under par. They were the beneficiaries of a late collapse by Lexi Thompson. Thompson was 8 under par after 11 holes today, and she gave back 5 strokes between number 12 and number 18.
I was so hoping she made that putt on 18, Tony. That course has brought people to his knees, including Arnold Palmer. So she's not the first big name to go out there and struggle on the back nine on a Sunday. And those 3 courses sitting right there, you've been out there, Olympic, San Francisco, and Harding Park. How great a plot of land is that to be on 3 golf courses that great? I've had the pleasure of playing 2 of them, not Harding Park. I walked it. It's hard. It's hard for anybody.
Let's go to the big finish. Blazers coach Terry Stotts and Magic coach Steve Clifford both out of work, which is the bigger surprise.
Tone, Terry Stotts should have been fired. I don't know who was surprised reporting was going that direction. I just think it was unnecessary. Serena Williams lost. Roger Federer withdrew from the French Open. Your thoughts?
Federer wants to concentrate on Wimbledon. Serena is having difficulty tying Margaret Court for the most majors of all time. She's having trouble lately getting to finals. The U.S. men's soccer team beat Mexico 3-2 in extra time in a game marred by thrown objects and anti-gay chants. Your thoughts?
Not just thrown objects, objects that landed on people's heads. People need to go to jail, prosecuted and put in jail. Essential Quality won the Belmont. Break it down, Tony.
It was a great, great race. 2 horses down the stretch, head to head, at a very, very fast pace. It was really a great race. It was. Last one, Nuggets Suns, Game 1 tonight. Who you got?
Man, these 2 teams are so evenly matched. I'm going with the Suns to win Game 1 at home, Tony, just like they beat the Lakers in Game 1 at home.
Out of time, try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Here's SportsCenter.
So, Murray softball gets a shout out. They won the city title yesterday.
Good.
My kids both went to Murray.
Good for them.
So I'm happy
Congrats.
For them.
Congrats.
Lizzie played softball at Murray.